I'm Martin Cove, Sensei John Kreese from the Cobra Kai TV series and the Karate Kid trilogy. And I'm hosting a new podcast, Kicking It with the Coves, with my own kids, Rachel and Jesse Cove.
We're going to be talking about life, our family. We're going to have some amazing guests on this show. And we're also just going to let you in on our lives a little bit, the Cove family.
Listen to Kicking It with the Coves at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Podcast One. Do you have a problem with that?
No, sensei.
I mean, Dad.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Oh,
it's
I was looking at the new Batman car.
What's that?
Oh, I was looking at the Batman car.
Not digging it?
For Fast and Furious Batman edition.
Okay. Hey, we got a lot to talk about today. We are going to talk about the pink elephant in the room. We're going to talk about the big news on turnkey replica cars. It's been years since we had the guys on and we talked about it. And hey, the turnkey has finally gone. Matt, you can finally start that motor. Okay. We're going to talk about a house for sale back home in Indiana and a bunch more today on Shift and Stare. We're all here. So let's get started. Hey, but before we do, I want to tell you about Geico, because Geico asked, would you love to save money on insurance? Of course. Who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even homeowners, condo, or renters coverage. Save even more with a special discount when you bundle coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24-hour roadside assistance, and the switch to Geico becomes a no-brainer. Switch today and see how you could save. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent. G-E-I-C-O, Geico.
Shift and Steer, racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjoy, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
I just want to say, it's very, very good that you can't see what's going on here. Because I don't know what Matt's going to do, but he's putting a lot of lotion on his hands. He must be excited about
it. By the way, the Geico lizard, that this was the original one, and I had him stuffed after he died because they only lived like for 2 years. So I don't know who this new imposter is, but this is him. So
they were twins, Aaron. That's his brother.
Well, the batch of 5,000 lizards.
Hey, we're all twins. So let's get right in with the big pink elephant in the room, or the big pink Cadillac in the room, whatever you want to call it. But
all right.
Gas prices are out of control. I love watching. I watch the financial news every morning while I'm getting ready. And they're all, the guy on there is all like, you know, hey, you know, we're going to see $4 gas prices by the end of the month. And I'm like going, you're going to see them. Where are you at, pal? Because we've been seeing them, and now we're seeing $5 plus. What's it at near you, Matt? Because you're in the high-digit L.A. metropolitan area.
Yeah, there's some gas stations out here where it's pretty nuts. You're going to see over $6 a gallon out here.
Shit.
You know, like, I mean, I'm usually grabbing, like, the 91 octane. But there's a few, like, they often say like real estate's really expensive. So you're like, if you're at like a really prime corner in Beverly Hills or Malibu, and they're like, oh, that real estate's really expensive, so we got to jack up the gas prices. I'm like, maybe, but there's some pretty expensive places out here. I want to say, honestly, there's that, the gas station, I think it's a Shell. It's like on the way to the Peterson Museum on Fairfax.
The one that's in the island.
Yeah.
Like four streets around it. It's kind of an island by itself. Yes.
That one's usually really expensive. The one outside the Beverly Hills Hilton, like around that corner, is always really expensive.
That's, and then there's one up on Peace trees Gate. And it's very elegant. So
it is very elegant. Yeah, there's some pretty expensive ones, but I don't know. I don't who's whatever.
I've realized something that I think is kind of a strange phenomenon. But down here in Orange County, you go to the wealthy areas like Newport Beach and like that, and it's expensive. But if you go to the areas like Santa Ana and the not as great high ticket areas, it's more expensive. So riddle me that one, Batman. And speaking of Batman, we'll talk about that later. But I mean, how do you guys think, Aaron, have you got gas this week up in your area? Or you been?
You know, I did. I had Indian food last night and man, it did.
I mean, up in Tahoe, they got to truck it up there.
You asked if I had gas. That's all the questioning.
But stay on the subject.
Yeah, methane is over the top here. It's definitely, you know, at the Chevron and the Shells and stuff for premium, it's definitely, you know, $4.94. I've seen it on the weekends. It always goes up. And I've seen it a little over $5. But remember, I live on the Nevada border. So I just go, you know, 20 minutes away. And it's about $1.50 less. It's even down in the threes. So, you know, fuck that.
Yeah. Well, I don't live on the border of anything. It's funny. More expensive. More expensive. We're about $5.40 this morning down by my place. And if you're in premium land, you're at $5.95. So
that's where we are. I just brought it up on the app. It's about $5.39, maybe $5.40. And up in the area, the 91 octanes in the area on the app are all coming up at 569 a gallon, 559.
Have you guys ever
585?
Have you ever used the Get Upside app, which they should be advertising on here because we're talking about? Have you guys ever seen the Get Upside app?
No.
What it is you just download the app. You register, and when you need gas, you just open the app, and it tells you gas stations in the area that are participating. And what you get is anywhere. I mean, you know, sometimes it's not worth it; it's 5 cents. But I watch 18 to 25 cents off a gallon, and with my behemoth, you know, when it's $150 to fill that thing, you know, I fill it up, and then you get money back. And it's cash. I mean, you can take gift cards and like that.
Oh, that's cool.
And, and you know, every once in a while I download it to my PayPal card. You know, when I get like $85 or something, I download it. And, you know, I mean, it's something because, you know, you look for cheap gas. Why not go? Because if you get cheap gas and you get that, it's good. So.
Yeah. So Brad, to update you on your question, I clearly haven't gotten gas in a few days. Because here's all the latest prices.
You showed us the gas stations, not the prices. What was it?
Ouch.
Yeah, almost $6 a gallon. Yeah,
we're almost $6 a gallon. At least for premium.
How is this going to affect
the
hobbies, guys? You know, we could talk about the prices, but how's this going to affect, seriously, the people that do overlanding, that take their RVs out, their motorhomes? And even just like people want to travel to a good guys event or to a Cars and Coffee. What do you guys think?
Yeah, clearly another reason to exodus California.
But it's not just California anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we've got it high, but they're saying by summer, if all this stuff keeps up over in Europe, we could be like $7 a gallon. We've never seen that.
Yeah. Yeah. And, well, Europe's really expensive too, right?
It's always been. When I go to Switzerland or places in Europe, years ago, we'd go there and it was like $9-$10 a gallon, you know?
Easy. Well, you know, people on the internet are saying that we have all these reserves and all this stuff in the U.S. and why don't we produce more in the U.S. and stop buying it from other countries? I don't know anything about that, but that's a real good question.
Well, at one time,
I see those damn little things all over the place on my way to LA sometimes, you know?
Yeah, right?
little pumps, you know, those oil pumps. We're clearly pumping oil out of
something like 600 million barrels of reserve.
In our
strategic reserves. But it's really about why do they close the pipelines and all that? Because at one point, we were producing more than anybody else. And we have the ability to. Yeah. I think it's strategic there. I mean, if you look at it long term, we're thinking, let everybody pump their oil because when they're out, then we'll have ours, you know. But getting to the heart of like our hobby, I mean, I look at, you know, Aaron, you're really into overlanding, and that is a very fuel intensive hobby because you're going distance and driving to a place to get to a destination and then drive and camp and things like that. How do you think it'll affect people?
Well, one, I drive a diesel, and two, it's pretty fuel efficient. And
okay, but we're talking overall the hobby, not just, it's not just it's not always just about Aaron Hagar.
But I think it's a good example in three, when you're driving out in the wilderness, you're not using as much fuel because you're going at lower speeds. And I find that I'm out for 4 or 5 days on one tank of fuel. So, that part of it, I think, is kind of economical because you're going pretty slow. And most of these vehicles are 4 or 6 cylinders. And a lot of them aren't 8 cylinders, which would be a lot more of a gas guzzler. For the cross country people and people that are driving more of distance at highway speeds, getting to their destination or something. Absolutely. Yeah. And then people that are hauling, of course, anything hauling a trailer or a bunch of toys, you know, it's going to affect them.
Yeah. Because if you look at guys with ATVs, they load up that big truck, then a big trailer, then they've got all their gas cans on the back. And then if you look at guys going to Good Guys, a lot of them trailer their cars there. And
So that's going to eat up a lot.
Impactful. If you remember back in about, what was it? 1999? No, maybe it wasn't that long ago. Early 2000s when we had a big, you know, gas hit $5 for the first time ever. And it was the first time people were really talking about electric vehicles. I know I looked at buying a couple of those smart cars to run back and forth to the factory, and Good Guys saw a decline because, you know, it got to the point where, you know, it's expensive. You know, it's, you talk about overlanding and you brought up a good point. You can go, a long distance cause it's short. It's not. And really it's a destination hobby where you're not going to a hotel. Usually you're camping and you're doing that. So, but when you're looking at, you know, I've gone to many Good Guys, load up the car trailer, load up the Suburban, load up the car and then get there. Then you pay for a hotel. Then you pay for dinners out. And so it gets really expensive. And
absolutely. Absolutely. You
know, but I think that's a big thing that we're going to see it impact some things if it stays. Because even, Matt, like, think about how much you told me you had a premium to transport your new Mustang because fuel surcharge and things like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, we see it in freight. We see it in everything.
Well, the thing, too, is of course, you have the domino effect. The last time we had a bit of a hike in fuel costs, you know, I forget how 5 years ago or something it was up here. All of our groceries, all of our, you know, supplies, anything that's brought up to Tahoe, which is everything, went up. So we had like a little mini inflation on a lot of products, daily products that you would use up here. And when the prices went way back down, everything else stayed where it was because they had to remarket, you know, new prices and new costs and print everything they needed to on those items. And I think that was pretty much, you know, nationwide, but Tahoe specifically, a lot of our goods went up and got pretty expensive and they never went down. So I'm sure we're going to see that again. So a lot of just daily products are going to go up and they're not going to come back down, even if gas prices do come down. So, well, you know,
we're certainly seeing
the whole inflation thing.
You know, like a lot of the aftermarket parts that we're seeing are getting price increases. for a number of reasons, the core metals and things like that. But a lot of it is the shipping and the trucking of all of that stuff. You know, with Bravago, we just made 20,000 cans. We're shipping it. All of those prices have increased. And by the way, this is a different issue, but the quality of those services have not increased.
That's right.
Yeah. Right.
So it's gotten a lot worse. Missing product, damaged product, and more expensive.
I'll give you two examples, Matt. Our wheels, like, you know, a set of 24-inch bond speed wheels, it used to be to ship those to Florida was about $4.25. And it's jumped up, $3.95 to $4.25 with surcharges. And it's jumped up over $500 now. And we had a quote for $800 recently from UPS. And it's just, you know, now we're shipping more by pallet and it takes longer. But like you said, and a container as of this week coming from China is $30,000 before you put anything in it.
Wow.
You know, speaking of price hikes, and this is a little change of the subject here, but a couple of days ago, as we're recording this, but a couple of days ago, Rivian sent out an email to all of its customers and order holders and said, everything's more expensive than we thought when we started announcing pricing in 2018. So everybody's going to get a price hike on the Rivian trucks from 17% to up to about 20%. So this is not insignificant. And the customer base just went nuts. Forums were blowing up, hundreds of pages, thousands of comments. The backlash was massive. Now, what was interesting is because when I first heard about it, we talked about it on CarCast, and I also had Ed Lowe from Motor Trend in, and like we had some conversations. We're like, there was no concession. It was an odd email from Rivian that just said everything's more expensive. Sorry, they said you could pay more money for what you ordered, or we can get you a lesser model vehicle, right? Like if you got the quad motor, we can get you the dual motor and it'll cost less, but it is what it is. And it was just a weird thing. It's like, look, all sorts of delays, right? Is one thing, you know, chip shortages and stuff. But even when Ford said, hey, the new Bronco, we can't ship you the hard top Bronco if you ordered it because we discovered a leak. It'll leak water when it's a high pressure water, like a heavy rain or something. We need to fix it. It's going to take us a little while. So at least they said something to the effect of, I don't know the exact dollar amount, but they're like, but we'll send you a gift card to use in the parts and accessory section of your dealer. So if you want to grab $200, $250 worth of parts, you know, whatever, it costs them 30 cents on the dollar because of the markups and the dealers. But for us, the customers, it's real money. It's retail money. It's $250. Rivian didn't do anything like that. They're just like, it's more expensive. It's 20% more expensive. In some cases, you're talking $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 more expensive. People were canceling orders and priced out. Like immediately, people were getting mad and canceling orders. The very next day, Rivian's like, boy, did we make a mistake. They're like, we now have to roll back
the price increase
back to what it was. And they said, and everybody that rushed to cancel orders, don't worry, we still got your name. We're going to keep your order. We screwed up. We're not going to do the price increase. They said, we lost your trust. We can't believe we did that. I'm not sure what happened here, but like, it's a backlash.
That's too bad.
Had they said, we need to see a slight price increase of 2% for the existing orders, but after that, the 2024 models, unfortunately, we're going to have to see a 20% increase. That's fine. But I don't think you get to...
You can't.
You can't because it's not that different than you know, you giving your deposits on your new Lightning or your new Z06, and then the dealer coming back to you going, great, we want $30,000 over a sticker. You're like, no, but I gave my $100 order and I gave my $500 deposit and we built the car online and the order's happening. Like, I don't think you get to then demand more money. Now, in that case, dealers are demanding more money.
They're trying.
Manufacturers are getting
there's always somebody that'll pay. But Matt, it's not any different from we do our year-end sale in December and we do very well at it. We sell a lot of wheels. Well, we did it this year or last year. And the 1st of February, we got hit with a massive price increase on raw goods. UPS raised their prices again in February. Well, I can't call those people back and say, hey, I know you ordered your wheels, got them on sale and everything, but now they're more expensive. You know, I just got to eat it. You know, you can't take a chance.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, you know, every new order you take, you got to give them the bad news, but the old ones you can't, and they've got to do that. And that's part of running a business is to look at the economics and where everything's going so that you can kind of do a little planning. And it's tough. Everybody's been raising prices. And like you said, it's everything. It's transportation. It's metals. It's cost of employees. I mean, geez, I saw a thing yesterday that Target is now starting people at $24 an hour. And I'm like going, how do they afford to pay all those people $24? Starting them. So that means other people are up at $40 an hour working at Target. You know, it's.
Yeah, because everything in the Target is going to have to get like a 5 or 6% increase in cost, like everything has to go up to make it worth your while. But anyway, just kind of a, I get the financial aspect from Rivian, but the PR aspect, like just the optics on that move was terrible. Just a terrible move. You know, everybody's talking about the price increase, and then it's always the case 10% of those people are talking about the rollback to putting the prices the way they are because nobody cares anymore. People are like, you know, Rivian said, we made a mistake. We lost trust with our customers. And I would say, yes, if just for the sake of numbers, if they had 100,000 orders and 10,000 canceled the other day, I don't think they got 10,000 back. I think when they rolled back, I was like, maybe if they got, I don't know if I had to guess 30 to 40%.
Yeah, because people, I bet they when still they lost like that, 60% of those orders. Like, I don't want to mess with it anymore. You know, I mean, it does leave a sour taste in your mouth.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, I saw a little blue one again a couple of days ago at the intersection here in Tahoe. I saw them on North Shore too, you know, several months ago. I know it was the same one, the same color, but boy, you can see that thing a mile away. Those headlights, as silly as they may be and kind of on the fence, whether you love them or not, I saw that thing coming like as far as I can see. It's like, oh, look, a Rivian.
Yeah, it's very distinctive. It's a cool truck. The reviews are fantastic. I mean, it's not like perfect, but it's good. They have a little office over here. I don't know if it's a design office or marketing office right here in Venice. So I see them every day.
Wow.
There's Rivians all around the neighborhood and coming in and out of that place. They're all driving the trucks around. So all the Venice Abicany.
It doesn't look that big. Everybody's like, it's huge. It's huge.
Oh, no. It's nowhere near. It's Ford Ranger size. It's Honda Ridgeline like size. Car. It's a very, very good use of space, though. Like there's storage. And, you know, in the frunk and in the cab and under the seat and the pass through and the whole thing. Yeah. It's like you could put a lot of stuff in there, which is one of the things people really been talking about. But, you know, the electric trucks like the Silverado and the F-150 that are coming out, those are F-150 size. Those are big trucks. Yeah,
big trucks. Well, you know, I was just talking to my wife the other day about it, too. I don't know. I know I keep talking about a little electric Fiat 500. They've gone up like $4,000 or $5,000 for the same miles, if not more. They're just elevated like crazy right now.
Of course, because gas did, and you could have stole them.
I know. I mean,
they were given.
Well, like remember when I was saying, I might do it a year ago? You know, they were $8,000 waiting for me to get down to $6,000. And now they're at like, you know, I found one for $11,000. I'm like, yeah, maybe I'll trade my Aprilia in on it. But they're 15, 18, you know, 14. I mean, they're up in the high mid teens now for something with 70, 80,000 miles on it. And I'm like,
yeah,
man, but I'm still like, I still want to experience it. And, you know, the range is still an issue and the battery life is an issue and all those, I guess that the controller in those goes bad. And there's a lot of them out there, new controller, new, you know, you always look and it says, oh, new controller, oh, new batteries, you know, it's like, oh, that's not good.
Yeah. You know, but what I keep thinking, yeah, guys, is when do the batteries quit taking a recharge and all these Teslas, yeah, that are out there and all that, at what point, nobody's really talked about that. And I keep thinking, at what point do people start going, you know, it's like your iPhone, you know, when it gets to that point and you go, man, it's going dead in like a half a day.
Yeah, but that's programming. Those suckers, man. It's like all of a sudden there's a new update and it's like, hey, my battery life isn't as good.
Well, that's very true. But they do only have so many recycles, yeah, and recharges. At what point, true, is it you get in your Tesla and you used to be able to make it home and back or to work and back? And now you're like on your, yeah, way home and you're going, oh, I got to find some place to charge.
Well, you know, it's probably a conversation for Prius owners. I mean, I don't really follow the market much, but what's going on with the Prius, you know, used
one? Other than the clear, you know, goes away really bad?
Yeah. Because they've been out for a long time enough to, like, when you get a used Prius, if you get something 8 years old, like, you know, what's the life of that battery?
Yeah.
You know, when does it start to change? I don't know. So listen, yeah, this is why all the recommendations at this point have been lease. Just lease something.
Yeah.
Lease something. Lease your EV. Give it back.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's going to be a weird kind of thing. It's like, as we get more and more into EV vehicles, is leasing just going to be the common way to get cars? Like, are we not going to want to own cars anymore? Which, as an enthusiast, it kind of takes the fun out of it, you know? But I don't know. Look, Leno bought a McLaren P1, which is a hybrid. Aaron, your dad's got the LaFerrari, right? Yeah. Which is a hybrid. And it's worth a lot of money, but it's kind of like, I don't know, how long does that battery last? When does it just become a gas engine car?
He's replaced it twice, and it has just about 1,000 miles on it. But
really?
That's charging.
Because he doesn't drive it.
Yeah, batteries are a funny thing. I can tell you that the batteries on my DeWalt and my Bosch electric tools, I seem to be buying. I just bought two more, and they're really expensive. And I just bought two more batteries for my DeWalt system because it's only been a year, and I don't keep them on the charger. I use them until they're blinking at me, and then I put them on the charger according to the instructions. I charged them properly at first, you know, and read all the stuff because there is a method and a memory. But I'm telling you, I got to buy new batteries every couple years for those things. All my rechargeable energizers and all the stuff you buy at the grocery store to put in all your clocks and shit, they don't want to recharge much after a couple charges, that they don't last as long. So, you know, there is something about charging systems and batteries, and it's a real hassle. And I'm not a fan of just the utility stuff because it doesn't last, you know?
Okay. Be honest. How many times have you guys taken one, let's say your drill. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's starting to go dead and, you know, you're like, okay, I should take that battery out, go put it on the charger, come back and then use it. But instead you wait like 3 minutes and then you get another little cycle out of it. And you're like,
yeah, oh, totally. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Or get it to hold just as much to actually turn
the whole, yeah, turn the whole drill around. It becomes a really heavy screwdriver.
When I was doing the mezzanine and my battery would start to go dead, I'd be like, I got to go all the way down that ladder to get my other battery. So I'd use that sucker like that till, you know, try to get screws in and then, okay, won't go anymore. So, and then we wonder why our batteries don't work. Hey, let's talk about something that everybody can relate to, something that every car guy out there can relate to, which is, did you guys hear Tony Stewart selling his pad in Indiana? Is, you know, his little getaway vacation home. It's 20,000 square feet on 415 acres.
Jeez. Did you guys see it?
Yeah.
It got posted like with a couple different sites on.
It reminds me of a Cabela's.
Yeah. So that has been the overall comment. It's like Twitter was blowing up going, does he live in a Bass Pro Shops?
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It totally looks like one.
Yeah. The place is massive. Wow. And listen, he's got a new drag race team he's got to pay for.
Well, what's so funny about it is that it's all like, you know, hunting, and it's a lodge, and it's got streams going through, and then there's an Indy car. $30 million you could have that, Aaron. You could live in 415 acres.
Well, my life runs on a different placement of decimal points. So
it's very, very personalized. And 30 mil in now, there's a lot of money in Indiana. There's a lot of sports teams, a lot of stuff like that. But it's interesting because we see houses out here in L.A. go, you know, one just sold, Stallone just sold his place for $58
million. Adele.
Yeah, to Adele, exactly. And
although I think he had it listed for like 100 or 110 million.
Yes, he had it for 110 and listed it originally in like 2018 or 2017 or something.
But he's still going to do well on it because like he built it. He custom built it in like 1985.
Yes, exactly.
So he's probably $4 million into that house and just made $54 million profit.
That thing is a choice property where it sits out there on its own and everything. I mean, but Adele's going to have to, if he doesn't, you know, get a crane in there to remove that Rocky statue at the end of the Negative Edge pool.
So, it's resin. It's not that bad yet.
He moved to Florida and spent like, I don't know, $46 million on a new place. So maybe he moved his statue with him.
Well, let me tell you, there's a reason for that. And I've heard that come through my ears, too, that Florida's got some great tax rules that a lot of wealthy people are really getting hip to. And they're like, I'm moving to Florida.
Why do you think that there was this guy that had a little bit of legal problem, an old ex-football player, that he moved there?
Yeah, right.
A guy named OJ.
Yeah.
Supposedly, you can't wash salvage titles anymore in Florida, though. That's a bummer.
You gotta go to Oregon.
I feel like OJ has a salvage title, like on himself.
his birth certificate is a salvage title.
Salvage title.
Okay.
let's talk about the SEMA has been working since 2015 with the government to get these, you know, what a lot of people call kit cars, but are replica cars, get that green light. And as of this month, it's finally done. I know, you know, Matt, how long ago was that we had?
I think we spoke to Lance Stander from Superformance, who does the Cobras and the Daytonas, and he does those cars. And, like, you know, making the kits, right? You can buy the car, and then you buy the engine and transmission package, right? And then it's kind of up to you to mate it together and register it. And this rule that you're talking about would allow companies like him, like his, to make 500 cars of these a year as a turnkey car and get it registered for the customer.
The final rule from SEMA, though, said that they had limited it to 325 now, is what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is still a good number for a company like his, right?
Yeah. They can sell their turnkey.
They
can sell their non-turnkeys, too, so they can, you know, do... Mm-hmm. And it's 25 cars that represent 25 years and older. So anything from 70s back basically can be replicated. But they
I don't know. It's an interesting thought. But it was basically approved and never enacted. And it sat for years and years and years. And I just got hung up in the political machine. And I guess now it's finally good to go. But,
well, according to the press release from SEMA, they said that it'd been approved for a while, as you said, and they couldn't even get it signed. They finally just last week got it signed by the presidential committee. They said that it was just like, we're going to push this aside again. But the strange thing is they still have to meet all the EPA standards. So
We knew that. And with like the E-Rod motors and stuff from Ford and GM and these, you know, these emissions legal packages with carbon filters and everything else. It's like, by the way, everything has to be emissions legal anyway. has, you know, now anyway, so it, that's not really that big of an issue. I think you can.
No, the reason I bring it up is because a lot of these hot rod builders thought they were going to slide in with that. And it has nothing to do with that kind of a car. Those are still going to have to find an old title and, you know, register them that way. And that's why I bring that up, because it absolutely does not help those guys, because, you know, you're not going to
put
cats and all that.
Something like Superformance that's putting cars together, Ariel Adam, maybe, with those cars, because it's kind of a bespoke turnkey thing. This isn't really, you know, Singer or Jonathan Ward building cars, because he's, you know, they're taking existing platforms. They're not kind of doing it from scratch. Maybe Noble. I don't know what Noble's been doing for a while, you know, and something like that. So there's a handful of companies that can do it. Maybe to some extent, Factory Five. Maybe Factory Five wants to be able to offer some turnkey solutions, like showroom floor ready to go.
How does Shelby do it?
Well, Shelby does post-title packages. So they buy an existing car and then they modify it with emissions legal parts.
Yeah,
they're a tuner, and then they offer it that way. So Shelby is also a little different than, say, like Roush, because Roush is now registered as a manufacturer. So even though they take a Mustang or an F-150, they do get their own window sticker and everything else, and they have VINs assigned to them. Shelby's a post-title package.
Technically, Shelby continuations, that the CSX series, like their Cobras and stuff, are they
right?
Going
so for those, so stuff? I guess this would sort of fall into that category as well if they want to offer a turnkey solution. But I think up to this point, they've been doing what Superformance has been doing, and they've just selling you the parts, and you got to kind of put the engine in.
And the reason why I bring that up is because, you know, Dad bought that little Shelby, the little 289 slab side. And I think one of the options for a fair price was to have them do the DMV work. So they had a service, a DMV service, do all the titling and stuff for him. And it was a piece of cake, and he got a street legal registered car turnkey delivered to his house through a separate service.
Right. They use separate entities services to do it for them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So it would basically eliminate that, or that would still be a service.
Yeah. So like you're saying, there's some complications or some additional parties. Now the guys at Superformance have figured this out and they try to make it seamless. That's sort of the hospitality portion of the company.
But
Superformance would like to build complete cars, and you can go into their showroom in Irvine and go, I like it, I want it, here's my money, I'm driving home. Or even have them deliver vehicles to other showrooms. Like, let's say Superformance wants to now deliver a turnkey Cobra to Galpin Ford, and Galpin says, yeah, this is ready to go.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
I'd rather have something like that in my house, actually, than Galpin.
Everything's being delivered these days. Nobody goes to the dealers anymore. So
have you guys seen the new Batman car? The movie just came out. Have you poked around the internet and seen any of the
muscle cars
that waited to be there at midnight and see it?
No, I'm not that big of a Batman fan. I don't think I've waited until midnight since the 80s to see a movie. I'm with you.
We used to go to the midnight movies.
Right? Yeah. See it. Like,
those were the good old days.
Technically the day before, but technically the night of or day of. You know, yeah.
So this thing has a lot of different things going on here. I mean, it's got a little bit of Challenger, a little bit of 56 Chrysler. It's got a little bit of dune buggy. It's
Well, the engine's all the way in the back. That's so weird.
Well, it's like a sand car.
Yeah. I mean, from a designer point of view, Brad, you can probably agree. It really lacks the originality of all of the other Batmobiles, including the original one. It looks too much like many things. And it kind of looks like the dark side of Fast and Furious, you know. To me, it doesn't scream Batman. If I saw this standing alone somewhere, I would never, ever in a million years go, oh, cool, the new Batmobile. But all the other ones, you would.
But at the same time, they do say this film has an entirely different take on Batman. We're a different audience. They're trying to influence a younger audience. So maybe they're looking at like a Burning Man influence or something. Doesn't it look like it'd be a Burning Man car?
They're also going for like the younger, more rough around the edges, not quite as established Batman character.
Right.
The problem is
Max kind of vibe.
The last Fast and Furious one with the Speed Corps Charger with the engine in the back and the Hellcat. This is too close to that. So now it just feels like it's been done, you know? Yeah. And also it's kind of like, all right, are we done with doing all the, you know, with Dodge going into all the movies and doing just the Chargers and the Challengers? And
I thought it was Audi that got an Audi. Yeah.
This thing has twin turbos. And I mean, it's, man, there's a lot of different things going on here. Yeah. It's almost like they wanted it to be everything to everybody, and that never works.
Yeah, I love the nose, like inside of the hood and fender, like the grill and that whole central thing. It looks mean and badass. If you were just to look at that thing right there, and like from just the front of the wheels up. Just the mouth is badass, but the continuity through the rest of it, the wheels look too small. And then they have those truck, 500, bolt pattern. And then the speed brake, whatever tail. I don't know. I'm not loving it.
I tell you the one thing though, for a superhero's car, as far as that rear engine, just being all exposed, disabling Batman's car seems pretty easy at this point, right? It's like you don't even have to open a hood to screw around with his engine.
The exhaust goes straight up into the turbo, so you just throw something down there and he's done. You know, it's like
just
pour what a good point there, Matt. Why aren't these movies consulting us when they're getting ready to do these films?
Never works that way, Brad.
I know they never talk to us.
I don't want to hate on it too much. It has a purpose. No. We haven't seen the movie, but I mean, nothing beats some of those old designs, man. I mean, there were some amazing Batmobiles.
And we're never going to have George Barris standing next to it going like this.
Yeah.
With a thumbs up, man.
I mean, I think the Tumbler was one of the coolest vehicle designs outside of the Blade Runner spinners. That's that weird tank one with the funky front wheel.
That's the Christian Bale. That's the Christian Bale one.
Come on, man. That's hard to beat.
So I don't know if you guys know Jeff Dunham, right? Ventriloquist comedian, just super nice guy. He is just the sweetest guy. And he's kind of a nerd, and he's got this great car collection and super into comics and stuff. So he bought one of the original hero cars from the Michael Keaton Batman movies, the big wings with the rock in the back and the shell. Which, by the way, in the movie, that one kind of turns itself into like a shell, so you can't screw with the car, like the new Batman. And he bought the car, and of course, it's a movie car, right? So it's like a bare frame. It's basic. It's got some plywood floors, and you can't see out of it. So he buys it, LS swaps it, makes a new frame for it, puts cameras all over it. He's got monitors all on the inside, and he made a fully functional, drivable, street legal Batmobile. And even has an agreement with Warner Brothers on how he owns the car and uses the car. So it was a big, big deal. Wow. And he brought it by the studio, Adam Carolla's studio.
Really?
And then I filmed for another show for GQ Magazine. I filmed a TV show with them. And then we toured his collection and he's like, let's go for a ride in the Batmobile. And I tell you, it was really fun. We were all around Van Nuys, all around the airport in that area.
Did you have to wear Robin's outfit?
I totally wanted to, but we didn't really have the budget for it on that show. Everybody stares at you. People stop in the middle of the road to photograph it. Like I saw some poor lady, she like jammed on the brakes in her Ford Explorer and jumped out to take a photo, but like didn't put it in park and then had to jump back in. And Jeff was like, when you drive this, you have to drive it very slowly because everybody wants to take pictures and people are going nuts with it. There's pictures like on TMZ of him, like him filling it up at a gas station.
That's so cool. His car collection's amazing. He's got some really unique, like monster type hot rods. And wow, he's got some cool cars that I would think would be in the Galpin Autosports collection.
Galpin built him a Batman truck, I think. And they built him a Batman, not the Fiat 500, the other smart car.
Oh, okay. That's funny. Yeah, yeah. He's got some beauties. He's got
some really nice cars. He also builds his own helicopters.
His own okay, that's where you draw the line. You don't ever get in somebody's home-built helicopter or plane. I'm sorry.
He told me about it, though, because I asked him the same question. He said, once you build them, they have to be sent out and get like fully certified and checked.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I was like, oh, so like the tech inspection in Monterey at the track, he's like a little more intense than that. A little more scrutineering over there. But
you definitely don't want the guy who's inspecting it to look at you and go, oh man, I'm a big fan of yours, and kind of wink and go, I'll make sure it goes through no problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder if he has a little dummy of Batman that he sticks out.
No, but even when he got married, he had like a, I don't know, like a Batman and Robin cake or something. Like,
oh gosh,
yeah,
he's got a replica of the '60s Batman car too. It shows here.
Yeah. He's it looks like he has a couple, and I'm trying to see if this is a
that Batman car.
But he's got. I've always wanted one of these military. Ferrets.
That Batman car, the black one from that you were talking about, Matt, that thing's got to be hard to drive. I mean,
yeah.
And you can't park it anywhere. It won't fit in a parking place.
No, but he inside, though, he does have fixed monitors and they're all cameras. So you basically just drive it with cameras.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it is, he does have a ferret. Yeah. I've always loved those little military vehicles. They're really cool. Wow. Yeah. He's got some neat stuff.
He's got an amphibian car.
Yeah. An amphibian car. He's got one of those. And then he's got some weird space looking thing. It's a going. Oh, from Lost in Space. All right.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
he's got some cool stuff, man.
You know what? I don't think I'm letting the cat out of the bag when I say like his level of nerdiness. He collects old Apple computers. He's got a whole collection of like the Lisa and the 2E and all of the dummies that he uses for his show. He makes them. He designs them and 3D prints them. He used to model them, but now he 3D prints them. And then on the inside, the way he controls it, it's powered and it's got a little chip and a board with finger like controls to move the eyes and stuff. So he can move the mouth, but then how do you get the eyes to do a thing? And he creates them and solders them and makes the boards himself.
Wow. Smart. That's awesome.
He is a geek.
He's built himself quite a little empire.
So he's got
when I look at these, you know, comedians that I've met and I see their car collections and stuff like that, I think, man, I wish I was funnier.
Yeah, I wish you were funnier.
Funny
too,
at all.
We all do, Brad. We all do, Brad.
I know. We all wish we were funny. We'd all have big buildings with cars and stuff like that. Yeah. And you know what? I'm going to be less than funny right now and say the show's over. It's over, man. It's
show's
done.
Over.
It's done for today.
All right. Well, like, I guess I'll just have to wait to talk about the Morgan. Like I'm waiting.
Oh, actually, I do want to get a quick update on the Morgan.
Hey, why don't you know tell what? Us? Just don't bring up any spring.
Now, in short, the Morgan is awesome. I put the bevel box in. I drove it around the block. It was a little draggy, so I pulled it back in, put it back on the jack stands because I was going to service the oil and stuff anyway. And I went to move the rear wheel, and it did not want to move very easily. So I checked all the cables and lines because I had bled the brakes with a new bleeding system, which pressurizes it to one bar. And, you know, because I have to do everything myself, so I can't. I had this long lever that I was like the ones you put in the back of your truck, you know, to like hold cargo in it. I had one of those extended, pushing against the rear brake while I'm trying to bleed it, like to do it myself. And so I got rid of that and got a bleeding
system. You got a pressure
system.
One?
I got a pressure one. So I thought maybe I overpressured them.
Make sure that you always have it securely done.
Oh, yeah. No,
I was doing my Vega once, doing it at home. And I didn't have it. And as the pressure builds up, you know, they kind of push down and click in. I only had it halfway in, and it went. And I mean, it went through my ceiling.
Oh my God!
In my garage. This
one screws on really, really tight. It's a good system. It's for European cars, and it works. Everything screws together tightly.
Well, yeah, but, so did mine. I just screw didn't get done.
Oh,
that was
got it. Got it. Wow.
And then when you have that brake fluid everywhere, you're going all everything down.
But this is .4, so at least it's, you know, vegetable based.
Or whatever. But anyways, you were saying, so the
wheel. So I thought maybe I overpressured the system. Well, what happened is I put enough pressure in that rear caliper. I guess it wasn't working. Well, it wasn't a caliper. It's a drum brake on the rear. But on that wheel cylinder, it was so corroded that I don't think it had been working. And I expanded it enough by putting pressure in it that it just locked in the out position and wasn't returning. So I opened it up and I look in there and I take the wheel cylinder out, you know, clean it, you know, bore it out, make sure everything's good. And then I noticed one of the return shoe springs, which is a weird shape and you cannot get in the US unless you get it from a Morgan, you know, guy, which I did. I have one coming. It had nicks in it that were like 70% through the material. And I'm looking and it looks like the four bolts holding the wheel that meet the hub are hitting that spring. And I'm like, shit. So I go to take it out and it breaks. And I'm like, great. So sourcing one of those wasn't too hard. Getting it here in a timely manner is, but I've got a couple Morgan, one in France, which is sending me a kit, and one in New York, which is sending me a kit. So we'll see which one gets here first. And that should be it. And hopefully the can of worms has been closed and sealed and consumed and I can just drive the damn thing. But now we got 2 or 3 days of snow coming.
I was going to say, you can't drive it this weekend anyway.
Yeah.
Nope. Looks like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, hopefully of next week. Because I have a rally coming up in a month and in exactly a month now. So, you know, time is getting a little close to short for
Hey, Matt, is it raining up there?
I can't really tell.
Was it this morning?
I think it rained a little last night, but I don't have anything right now.
Well, they were talking, oh, man, get ready, brace for it. And it was dry as a bone down here.
So. But I kept muting during it because the truck was backing up and a lot of wind and my roof was shaking. So,
oh, my God.
Probably on its way.
I thought that was your forklift.
Skylights jump around
doing its own work or something.
Yeah, right.
So, all right. Well, I wish my driveway was beeping because that would mean that my lev rack is finally being delivered, not by lev rack's issues, by FedEx's issues. It was supposed to be here on the 28th, and I'm still getting out for.
Oh, you mean your workbench?
Yeah. The workbench.
You already got the. Yeah, I was gonna say.
I got my rack. Waiting for the workbench, but FedEx deliveries, of course, you know. And I don't know when they're going to deliver. I have to be at my shop to sign for it. And it's like, come on, guys, let me know when you're coming.
Yeah.
So I can, you know, FedEx is killing me, man.
All right.
That's all I got.
Matt, where can they find us?
See you, bye.
You know, check us out at Shift and Steer. And we appreciate the nice words and reviews on iTunes and stuff. And you can follow me at Motorator. Been driving a few things. We talked about Defender 90. Jaguar F-Pace SVR, and I've got the Aston Martin Vantage Coupe right now, and a couple of other things on the docket. So,
okay, new hashtag more. Matt sucks.
Yeah, maybe let's not go with that.
Man.
Okay. Sounds good. Oh, yeah. You can find me on Instagram, Bradley_Fanshawe. Go there, check it out, and go to Bond Speed Wheels on Instagram and order a couple dozen sets.
Yeah,
right.
Brad promises no secret price increase.
Until we do it.
Yes, it'll no be secret. Very public.
We're not going to throw you under the bus. We're not going to throw you under the truck. Aaron? Yeah.
Not going to throw you under the Rivian. You can find me on the internet at Aaron Hagar. The website is theratrunnersgarage.com. And thanks for listening, guys and girls and kids and dogs.
All right. Let's go enjoy the weekend. And you all enjoy whatever you're working on right now. Keep those. You know, we love it when you do send us photos through Messenger and stuff like that. It's always cool. We get, you know, it's always nice to know that people are listening. That's always the best part. So,
yeah. You know what? I actually have a lot of people saying, hey, I was listening to the episode and I came by the shop, and I'm like, wow, thank you. You know, they are out there.
But they forget that, you know, I know they message each of us, but, you know, you can message us also on Shift and Steer on Instagram. And that's always a great place to do it as well. So, all right, everybody. Hey, we'll be back next week. That's a
promise. Have a good weekend, pal.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.
Would you love to save money on insurance? Well, of course, who doesn't love a good deal? Well, when it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even homeowners, condo, and renters coverage. Save even more with a special discount when you bundle coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24-hour roadside assistance, and the switch to GEICO becomes a no-brainer. Switch today and see how you can save. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent.